97 won the ticket. Big day. It's trade deadline eve. And who better to talk to than the great John Morosi from MLB.com and MLB Network? The man of the hour. John, yeah, what's going on?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? I would dispute that I'm the man of the hour, really, at any hour, but I nonetheless appreciate the invitation to be on the show today.
Hey, John, you're everywhere. You are the man of the hour. Just accept it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And, hey, listen, my big takeaway from this is that people love talking ball right now in Detroit, which always makes me proud and happy.
All right, so, John, you kind of shocked people, I think, and it feels like maybe Baltimore went to bed one way and woke up a different way. You went on MLB Network and said, close to a 50% chance that Tarek Skubal gets traded. Do you still feel that way? Or maybe you're even to a 60% chance?
No, I think it's a coin flip. I really do. And there are a few reasons why. I think, number one, the Baltimore Orioles, under new ownership, have enough prospects to get this deal done. Now, we can parse the list and say, would it have to include Jackson Holliday? Would it not? Coby Mayo is potentially a name. Samuel Basayo as well. They've got a lot of players. The Orioles have, I think, the best, not just the best farm system in the game, but the best young major leaguers in the game in terms of guys who are 24, 25 and younger. And not all of them can play every day. And Mike Elias, their GM, has done a magnificent job over a long period of time to accumulate all of this talent. And now it feels like, I think, from a Baltimore standpoint, like it's time to go for it. That you've seen Jordan Westberg come up and make an impact, Colton Cowser as well, neither of whom I think would be part of a trade like this because they're now part of the conversation and that major league lineup and roster. So they've got the pieces. And I think the Tigers, what I've been saying, Jeff, all along is this. If the Tigers wanted everybody to know that Skubal was going nowhere, no way, no how, they would have said that by now. They would have at least said, we're not trading him under any circumstances. He's taken the mound for some pretty big games. Yeah, I realize the Tigers aren't necessarily in the thick of the wild card race, but they've been competitive. And if they wanted, from the standpoint of the overall idea to get into the playoffs and to shut out all the distractions, they would have said that by now, and they haven't. So I think there's at least that possibility there. The Orioles have the pieces, in my view, to potentially make this happen. We've seen the reports today about Flaherty getting scratched. A lot of things are in play. A lot of things are happening. And to me, it's a fascinating time to see what way they go. I'm not going to say that it's likely because I think it's really close to a toss-up. It is 50-50 that it would happen. And I think you've got a very motivated team in Baltimore that clearly still wants to get an ace pitcher.
That voice you hear, that's John Morosi from MLB Network here on the Valeni Show with Rico. Rieger in for Mike. John, you're talking about the Baltimore team and their farm system. If I know you said it was 50-50, but if the trade goes through, how many pieces do you think Baltimore will be sending back to Detroit?
You know, that's an excellent question. I think you could see as many as four, potentially five, depending on how big the deal gets. And I would also add this, that it would not surprise me if Skubal isn't necessarily, if this happens, the only Tiger that would go the opposite direction. They might Wow. want one more player to come back. Once you start talking about a deal of this magnitude, it very easily can grow. Even the Juan Soto deal, which is the deal that I've most compared this trade to, or hypothetically to, there was one more player that went in that deal, in Josh Bell. So there are potential ways for the deal to grow. And what I like about this the most, in terms of how big the deal could be, is if it happens, and even if it doesn't happen, it's going to tell us a lot about where the Tigers are and where they think they are, what kind of players they're getting back. Because if they trade Skubal and if they trade for Coby Mayo, he's in the major leagues this week. He's a major league player. He's just not for Baltimore because they've already got all these players in the
right.
But he's a major league hitter. Jackson Holliday, they've sent him back down to the minor leagues. They've actually had opportunities to call him back up and haven't. If you notice, they called up Connor Norby recently to play second base. They could have easily called up Holliday again, and they didn't. So either they want him to keep working on things or they think that other people are more adept at contributing to the major league club right now, which in and of itself is very interesting. Samuel Basayo has a catching background. I realize the Tigers just called up Dingler today, but Basayo is not—he's not the catcher of the future in Baltimore. Adley Rutschman is, and so there are players that you're looking around saying, Are they the players that are in the Orioles system right now? Are they going to play ahead of anybody that they've already got? And increasingly, for a lot of these guys, the answer is no. And that's Kyle Stowers is the perfect example. He's a good player. He's stuck at AAA right now. He is a major league player who has proven everything he has to prove in the minor leagues. He's already in his mid-20s. He's not a kid anymore. If the Tigers trade for him, he's in the major leagues this week as well. So as much as it's a painful thing for Tiger fans to think about and contemplate the potential of trading Skubal, if you show up to Comerica Park this weekend and three guys from a trade are in the lineup every day, it's not like you're getting four guys in A-ball, which
right.
is why
right.
I
have to watch them right away.
Kind of trade. Right. They're on the team right now. Now, I grant you this. At some point in time, if they're trading Flaherty imminently, which is very possible, and if they trade Skubal, at some point they need some young pitching coming back or just guys to start games for them. Because at the moment, as you well know, the rotation, because of injury and potentially now trades, is not exactly robust. I mean, they're having
bullpen days every other day.
Exactly. And by the way, that is not sustainable, Rico, from a standpoint of just health. Okay, like making sure that you're managing your pitching responsibly from now until the end of the season. So don't be surprised if at some point in time in the next 24 hours you hear the name of a veteran pitcher who's all of a sudden shown up on the Tigers' doorstep and you're saying, like, who is this guy? Well, they need people to start games. And I think that is a big question. The other dynamic, and this is like probably part one of a 7-part like biopic and series that we could talk about, is how does Torkelson fit in all this? And are they at a place where, and I'm just hypothesizing here, if he is someone that is valued more highly by other teams than he is internally, would you contemplate that decision? Because what I see happening now is if they were to make a move that brought back a third baseman like Kobe Mayo, for example, well, then Mayo becomes your third baseman. And then Jace Young probably moves to the right side of the diamond, along with Colt Keith. And then you've got Malloy as your DH potentially, in addition to anybody else they might get. Where's Torkelson going to play? And they have had, as you know, multiple chances to call him up in the last several weeks, and they haven't done it. And so I it would not surprise me at all. I'm not saying they're shopping him, but it would not surprise me at all if he is somewhere else by tomorrow night. Because there are probably other clubs that look at what he was out of the draft and say, there's a better hitter in there than what the Tigers have been able to find. And I'm not saying whose fault it's been one way or the other, but that is a classic change of scenery conversation that would not surprise me at all if a team is calling to try to get him away, because this is about the floor of what you could ever expect him to be, and it can only go up from here.
Talking with John Morosi from Major League Baseball Network, and John, the Tigers have pulled Jack Flaherty from today's starting pitching assignment. What would be the market for a pitcher like Flaherty?
Well, I think that right now they could get more than what they got for Lorenzen a year ago because of a couple reasons. I think, number one, he's been really good. And number two, there are enough teams right now who need starting pitching depth that are contenders, that are going for it. Now, we saw the Dodgers and Cardinals made a move today. He was never going to go back to St. Louis, but the Dodgers theoretically could have been a potential landing spot. They got Michael Kopech from the White Sox instead. But the Astros, the Padres, it also wouldn't even surprise me if as the Tigers and Orioles are talking, I don't think that Flaherty's going to go back there, but there are various other pieces, maybe even bullpen pieces, that could be involved with Baltimore as well. But there are enough teams, and even now, with the latest news about Reynaldo Lopez in Atlanta, they might be all of a sudden interested in getting some pitching help because of their sudden rotation deficiency. So when you look at the landscape of Major League Baseball right now, the Brewers are another example. I would say the Yankees are another one. The right teams, the teams that are largely big market competitive teams that can drive a market, are all in need of a starting pitcher. So I think that Flaherty, he's been in the playoffs before. He's been traded before. I think he's a guy that would fit a number of different teams. So I would expect that the return the Tigers get for Flaherty will be a little bit above what they got last year for Lorenzen in infielder Hao-Yu Lee.
Hey, John, one more for you. And I wonder, let's say they keep Skubal, and there's a great chance that they do keep Skubal. What does the offseason look like? Because now you're looking at only two more years to try to get to the postseason or win a World Series with Tarek Skubal. So are we looking at Chris Illich and Scott Harris being massive buyers at the deadline? It can't be status quo. It can't be like this offseason because now the clock is ticking. So if you keep Skubal, does that indicate they got to go, correct? Yeah.
Or basically what Jeff is trying to say, are the next 48 hours kind of the definition of the Scott Harris regime?
Well, I think you guys are exactly right, that you don't decide on your direction today and tomorrow without knowing what you're going to do in the offseason. And listen, I look back at last offseason as generally, in terms of what they did with the pitching side of things, a generally successful plan. I know that Maeda has not thrown well, but you handed out two shorter-term deals, and I know Maeda wasn't a one-year deal, but you handed out two short-term deals. Maeda has not pitched well at all. Flaherty has been really good. And when you're in free agency and pitching, basically you will take batting 500 on short-term deals any day of the week, and that's what they've done. So I think that is probably now incumbent on the Tigers to go down that approach again. You're going to have to keep supplementing because now we're at a point where can you trust Mize to ever be a 180-inning pitcher? What is Manning? From a health standpoint, what goes on with Olsen? There are a ton of questions there. And for all these reasons, this is another point in the column of why you're thinking about moving Skubal.
Right.
Because if you're not ready to go all in this winter, then you're talking about 1 year of him in 2026 to hopefully make a run at things. And I think that explains right now, if you don't trade him, you guys are exactly right. If you don't trade him, your show on Wednesday should be okay. Who are you going to get in the offseason to make this a competitive team relative to Cleveland and Kansas City and anybody else? Because if you're not, then you should have traded them. I mean, I look at it as a binary choice. You're either in it to win it for the next 2 years, or if you're thinking that you're only going to be in it to win it once, then you should probably trade them.
See,
that's what I see.
This is a very smart man, Rieger. Very smart.
He went to Harvard.
This is why we talked to him.
Yes, of course. He's very smart. But I got one more for you. So what do you think the holding point up? Like, what do you think's holding this up? I know you say it's 50-50. You're not willing to go above that. But is it the Tigers are waiting for another prospect that the Orioles weren't willing to give? Is it the Orioles, well, you know what? We're not quite sure if we actually want to pull the trigger. But if we do, then we'll give you this. Like, what do you think the conversations are like right this second?
Yeah, it's a great question. And wouldn't I love to be able to tell you exactly what they're saying either way. But just for having covered a lot of these, I think that when you're talking about a true blockbuster, the way that things have happened to this point, it's all setting the stage for a blockbuster to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is the kind of ingredient that you often see when it happens. And what I mean by that is this. You've seen sort of steadily, day by day, trades have been made, sort of moderate to big. In the case of three-team trade today, Arozarena was a big trade, Chisholm was a big trade. There's been some significant trades happened the last few days. But when you have significant business that gets done well in advance of the deadline, like 24-plus hours before, it gives teams opportunities to be creative. And I think that's what's happening right now. Teams are getting creative. A number of executives today I was talking with are saying, hey, man, like we got a bunch of ideas out there. We are flooding the zone. People are going back and forth. And so that's good. That tells me that people are in a mood to make deals, that things could happen. So I think that in this situation, Scott Harris knows that he's got a piece that everybody in the industry would love to have. He knows that Baltimore probably has the best pieces of anybody to get him. And I think as a result, he feels like probably it's his job to hold out until the last possible minute. And Mike Elias and his people, they know what the price is that they'd be comfortable to pay. They certainly know it by now. New ownership there, I'm sure, is probably encouraging them to really explore this. The last thing I'll say on Mike Elias is, and the one thing that might sort of work against a trade happening here, is he is a prospect guy. He was a scouting director in Houston. He helped build those teams that have been the ALCS all these years in a row. He loves prospects, loves them. And for that reason, it's going to be emotionally difficult for him to give these players up.
Yeah, but John,
that's why honestly, I'm not going to go out there and suggest that Torkelson could be part of a trade like this. But it wouldn't surprise me if that happened, simply because Elias would have seen him a ton as a college player, seen him play well, and said to himself, look, you guys clearly haven't been able to get much out of him. Let me take him as part of this whole transaction and watch me, kind of the prospect guru, help him get back to what he's been in the past. That would not surprise me, just knowing how he likes to get prospects, and he would have seen Torkelson a lot. So that's just kind of one thing I've been thinking about the last couple of days that would not surprise me as a longtime observer of such things.
John Morosi, great stuff. We appreciate you taking the time. We know you're in Philly for Phillies and Yankees, and thanks so much, man. I know it's going to be a very busy, like 24 hours for you.
You got it, guys. We got Yankees and Phillies tonight, and I'll be down in the camera well, field level. And you guys both know I can't have my nose into my computer screen too much because that's when the foul ball is coming.
Right.
So I gotta have eyes on the field. But you guys can call me if something happens. Just give me a call, okay?
Will do. Right. You're the best, John. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Watch Phillies and Yankees. Check out John Morosi from the MLB Network, MLB.com, and we'll react to John. And listen, there's something on my mind after that conversation. We'll get into it. 97.1 The Ticket.